You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
Whoa. The Tibetan Book of Bicycle Maintenance. Do not pay attention or investigate. Leave your mind in its own sphere. Do not see any fault anywhere. Do not take anything to heart. Do not hanker after signs of progress. Although this may be called inattention, do not fall prey to laziness. Be in a constant state of inspection.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want.
That future just keeps turning like the rear wheel of a mountain bike. Sorry, Faith, you're making me laugh now. You're listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show here on Radical Radio 3CR. Podcasting, streaming, or listening on that old AWA transistor in the kitchen. We'd like to thank Amy Goodman and the team at Democracy Now! Not only for today's program, for 30 years of producing independent media to everybody else. As you know, we're a show about bikes, riding them, fixing them, loving them, and sometimes fixing up old ones, recycling them, and indoctrinating young children into the joys and addiction of cycling. I'm joined on the ride this morning. Faith, good morning.
Good morning, Val.
And good morning, Bart, or should I say Dr. B. Cranky?
Yes, Dr. Cranky. Here I am, Bart. Dr. Cranky's.
So we're going to have a good show today. Sorry about that intro. It's one of the first ones I've buggered up for a while. Somebody's going to call me now to say I shouldn't be using those words. But anyway, look, if you haven't been out on a bike in the last 4 days in Melbourne, it has just been, we're blessed with a wonderful week of weather.
It feels like something's turned terribly early, but yeah, it's been gorgeous.
No. When was the first time we've called wattles? I mean, they're out and about already.
I saw a magpie sharpening its beak on a brick fence.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Well,
and singing a really jaunty, happy song.
He recognises Faith, that's why.
That's right, yes, the helmets. They recognise the helmets.
Yeah, exactly. Daffodils, everything's gone. I've got the first jasmine flower at home, so things are looking whooshier. But look, it's been a good week in the bicycle world. Faith, you got something to share with us from your many travels?
A bike moment.
A bike moment. Sorry.
That's okay. I did have a few bike moments on Wednesday. I managed to jump on the Marybeck bug ride for the first time this year, maybe. Wednesdays have been really busy.
Yeah.
So that was nice. It was just a quick loop of the Capital City Trail. But then as we were riding through Yarra, who did I get? Worlds collided when Val came along riding the other way.
So if you get a bit of a Big bunch. Nice bunch.
26.
26.
We had on Wednesday.
Yeah. Look, very good as you're playing along. I saw you two, and then actually 10 minutes later, somebody passed me the other way, then turned around and came back and rode with me for an extra bit of time. It's lovely. That's a good solid group, isn't it?
Yeah. There's probably 28 to 30 regulars. Not everyone's on every single ride.
Yep.
For the Wednesday ride, they'll often be 20 or more.
Yeah.
Some days we'll get down to 15, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good bunch. Lots of good chatter over lunch and.
Yeah, and it's a half a day ride.
Usually leave Moreland Station at 10 a.m. and promise to be back by 4:27 p.m.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty exact.
There once was a train someone had to catch. As I said, Wednesday's ride was pretty short. And there's always a stop for lunch. But often, you know, it'll be Ross, who's been organising the ride for over 10 years now. You never know the route till the Monday immediately before it because he does it according to the wind direction.
Of course.
So yeah. we'll ride out to Hurstbridge and get the train back, or we'll train it out to Hurstbridge and ride back.
Yeah,
or
makes sense.
He always chooses the route depending on the weather, so that we have the wind in our back for most of it, which is nice.
Yeah,
that's not cheating. That's just planning.
That's just planning. Yeah.
And for any
that's working with the elements.
That's right. It's about being inside nature, not fighting it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Communing at one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're swinging me. Before we leave this topic, let's get heads up to anybody who wants to get involved in this. Where do they find out the details?
So, on the Mary Beck Bug website,
there's
a calendar with all the rides every second Wednesday.
Yep.
Or you can have a look on Facebook or Instagram and follow them, and there'll be links from both of those to the rides, and then you'll hear about them, and anyone can turn up. You don't have to be a bug member or anything.
There you go.
And it's, you know, we ride at the pace that suits the slowest person. We get...
Yep.
A lot of the time Ross plans it too, so we pass lots of railway stations. So if you've only got half the day or you're not sure how far you want to ride, you will be able to get you back to a station to go home if you had enough of us.
Yeah, and there's always a train close by somewhere along the way.
Generally. Yeah. Woodlands and that there might not be, but most of the time
that's
there
right.
is.
Yeah. No, it looked like a very happy group that brought it rolling along.
Yeah, you're a bit jealous. You thought you'd go turn around and go with them.
I was on my lunchtime ride. I've developed a lunchtime ride.
We do have a lot of very nice, beautiful, a few regulars who come on very beautiful steel bikes and beautifully dressed.
That's nice.
We have had a couple of regulars who always came with their dogs. So we had three regular dogs on the ride. But unfortunately, with John Englert's death, that's not the case anymore. But often Nick Dow's along until he goes to Italy.
Italy.
It's a good bunch.
No, look like a lot of fun. Bart, what about yourself? You got something to share with us?
I've got so many bike moments.
I was at a
cyclist. They invited me to go out and do a presentation to them. They're a big group. They've got about 300.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Whitehorse Cyclists.
Oh, yeah.
They invited me to come out and talk to Dr. Cranky. About Dr. Cranky. I've been out there for a couple of years ago. But Doug, one of the members there, shout out to Doug. He said, "Oh, you're coming. I've got a bike for you." So we met in the dark out in the car park at the horticultural centre out there. And
he
took the bike off the back of his car and I put it on the top of my roof and then we stood.
Looked around for a CCTV. Yeah,
that's right, yes. This is fine, guys. But then I did the presentation. They're a lovely bunch of guys out there. Like half of them are overseas, cycling in the heat. But then I was able to, at Flemington Primary, which is the original bicycle hospital where Dr. Cranky started, I was able to give that bike out to a child, Rory, at Coburg High. I sent Doug a photo. I said, "Hey, here's the bike you gave us on Tuesday night. It's going out to Rory." And he was really, really excited. And Rory got a helmet and a lock. And his mum was even more excited. And he was off and running. So Doug was like, "Oh, I just don't want to give it away. I don't want to throw it in the heap." And it went straight to someone. who was going to ride it the next day, right? So that was a bike moment.
That's put a smile on anybody's face.
Yeah. And the other one was just riding in this morning. It was my my Dr. Cranky bike with a box on the front, like a Clydesdale, and made myself with electric assist. And a guy in an Omnium pulled up beside me and said, "Hey, how you finding this?" And he's got his Omnium with the electric assist. He said, "Did you put that on yourself?" And but that moment doesn't happen in a car, right? And there's perfect weather and there wasn't much traffic on the road. We had chitty-chatty-chatty, and then he went off on his way and went, "Wow, you don't get that."
I mean, it might happen on Lygon Street with the right tyres and, you know, a spoiler or something.
That's right.
Like,
it'd be an insult, though, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be a compliment.
No, I think we have to be
You could, but it was just a bike moment, right? It doesn't happen too often on the bike even these days because everyone's kind of, you know, going places. But it's, we had something in common and you can just chat side to side. And off he goes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Look, I've got a couple, but one of them's somebody else's bike moment. So I'll say that one first. And then, look, a friend of mine who does a fair bit of house sitting between one of his ex partners' place in Bacchus Marsh, usually lives down Apollo Bay, but always been a cyclist. I've known Stan for years and years and years. Always had a nice, like one of those old late 70s, early 80s Peugeot road bikes. So nice, dependable, always nice to go. Over the years, put new levers on it, new brakes, everything like that. Yeah. Anyway, gets knocked off out of the back of his car at Bacchus Marsh, and the poor bloke is bereft. It's like, you know, he's lost a kidney. True. So he's about to spend £500 or something on a Peugeot from England. I said, "Oh, mate, don't be silly." Anyway, during the week, he gets a ring from the police because he'd reported it at Bacchus Marsh, and I've forgotten the senior sergeant's name now, was walking past the pub and recognised the bike.
No way.
From taking the description, walked into the pub, asked anybody whose bike it was, nobody. Stan's got his bike back.
That never happens.
So if you're going to get a bike stolen, make sure you're in Bacchus Marsh. The other personal bike moment, leading on from you, I passed you, Faith, I'm going the other way. And I do a loop. It goes both sides of the Yarra Trail with a loop of the botanical gardens in. It takes me about an hour and a half from home. But that first part of the ride, you're virtually in shade or in dappled shade the whole way. I go over McRobinson Bridge, even more shade there. Mm. And by that stage, I'm in this sort of metronome sort of, you know, thing, cap on. I'm just watching what's happening in front of me. And you go along like that until suddenly you pop out from underneath the punt road bridge. And you've gone from shade for the last, I'm going to say 25 minutes, and you pop out in all this sunlight. Mm. And it's the first time I've sat up, and it's actually something that Hugh Vellacott had said to us describing a bike moment here a couple of weeks ago, the different shades of green. And it's focused on riding, but I sit up and you're just confronted by everything in the sunshine. It was really lovely little feeling there. You just pause, bring the cadence down a little bit, sit up, suck in a bit of that air, tuck it all. Well, like some French impressionist painting, the reeds in the front ground, you know, the different greens, the elm trees losing their leaves. Really are spectacular spots. And the other thing, there's a gorilla bloke going around the paths, cleaning the edge of the paths, the bike path, and then chalking on it. I found it. As in the edge of the park. I rode past him the other day. This could turn into something.
How far back was the edge? That's the question. Some of them
about 2 feet.
Yeah.
On one side.
Yeah.
Parts of the track that and virtually a third of it's lost through overgrowth on each side of the path.
Yeah. That really could be funny. A YouTube channel.
I know. The gorilla gardeners, the communist gardeners out there doing something. We're going to be back talking about Dr. Cranky and getting kids on bikes.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show. As Val mentioned, our guest today is Bart Spegan from Dr. Cranky's Bikes for Kids.
Yes.
Welcome to the studio, Bart.
Thank you so much. We've just changed our logo. This is the old show. The new one's coming. A Bike for Every Child will be our new logo. Yeah, so yeah, we're wearing the old one. And it kind of sums up what we're trying to do. There's, you know, over 250,000 kids in Australia without a bike. And when you look at the stats, hang on, how did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, like that we're a wealthy nation. You don't think it's true, but it is. There's families, kids growing up with families without bikes. So we're trying to get as many bikes under as many kids.
And it's a really good fit because now, you know, we have bike ed embedded in the Victorian school curriculum. Mm-hmm. Every kid in every school, you know, will get the opportunity to learn to ride and throughout from prep to grade six. Which is awesome.
That's fantastic.
But, there's a lot of them are going to need a bike.
Well, that's often when we get the call from the school.
Yeah.
And they're about to do bike ed and they realise, oh, yeah, there's some kids that have got bikes. Yeah. And we've got some learner bikes. Well, what happens if you've learned to ride?
And you got you don't know.
And it's the number one reason. The cycling participation survey that came out, well, when was it? Just a while ago.
Yeah.
They surveyed people, what's the number one reason you're not riding? Well, don't have a bike.
Yeah.
It's like the basic thing, right? Yeah. You know, physical... conditions are quite important once you've got the bike.
Yeah.
Right? If you haven't got a bike, well, it's not going to... That's right. It kind of makes a bit of sense. So that's what we're trying to do. Go out there. You know, kids, we do these school bike checks or community bike checks at rec centres, but usually we're doing it with councils and they're the partner with the school and we come in and we'll check every kid's bike if they bring it in. And if a kid doesn't have a bike, we've got some donated bikes we can give out. And so we're doing a bike safety check on every bike. And if there's kids that need one, they get one as well. So, you know, it started out with checking bikes on Ride to School Day at my kid's school. And I was parking the bikes. And I was really like, how did they get in? Like, this tire, the wheel's going to fall off. The brakes aren't even working. The handlebars are loose. So I got my multi-tool out. I was fixing the bikes just so they could ride home safely at least.
Yeah.
And then one of the other dads said, you know, there's kids without bikes. Well, you're kidding me, aren't you? And we started it up. And sure enough, there were kids, especially in... state schools with a more diverse population, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And state schools are great, especially primary schools. So if you're not riding by the time you finish primary school, it's very hard to get started after that.
It's much harder to get started, And so how long ago was it Dr. Cranky started?
Well, we started at Flemington Primary when I was a stay-at-home dad there, 2014.
Yep.
And then Dr. Cranky was incorporated as a charity in 2018. Yeah, and then we got a grant from Vic Health. We won an award through Vic Health, and then we got a grant, and then COVID hit, and then we're like, "Well, hang on," which is kind of good because they gave us a grant for 1 year, which wouldn't allow us to trial stuff, and we were trialing this model where parent volunteers, we would set them up to run regular bicycle hospitals at the school, so they would do it at the model we used at Flemington Primary. And it's not sustainable. You can't get the parent volunteers and one leaves and you've got to...
Yeah.
And then it was Darebin City Council, as we're coming out of COVID into Ride to School Day, they said, hey, you want to come do a school bike check? I said, as I said at the original, well, it doesn't sound amazing, but let's try it. But let's try it, right? I'm getting recycling bikes.
Yep.
Yep. Connecting with community and getting more cycling happening. When we measure all three of those, I'll give it a go. And we did the first one. I said, oh, this worked because we're measuring. We could tell.
Yeah.
You know, if you just check the bike, if they bring it in and get it checked, they'll ride three times more a week, which is off the charts. And we know because we measure it. And someone that gets a bike goes from zero to much more. So we did that, and that became the model then. So we got school bike checks, and then they're on weekdays with councils. And then Darebin again said, hey, you want to come out to the Reservoir Recreation Centre every month and check bikes out there? I was like, yeah. Are kids going to be there? Yeah. Are there going to be bikes? Can we make connections? Yep, we'll be there. So we do that. So that's a different sort of connect. Some people can't make it on the weekday.
Yeah.
So being able to do it on the Sunday at a rec centre. So that works really well. So we've done, what, 8,500 bikes we've seen and checked, and we've given away like 2,200 bikes to kids.
Yeah.
And we generate like over 700,000 extra rides per year.
Yeah.
And we know that because we measure it. So, yeah, just check. Just there's something about just bring your bike in and get it checked.
Yeah.
And if you need a bike, get it. So, you know, you're taking the bike from the back of the shed, you bring it into school, and where does it go back? It goes back in the front of the shed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone else has done it. So there's a magic activation happening there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's something about, mate, I mean, you described it yourself, how did these kids get to school on this bike?
That's right.
There's something about then that child's first ride on the bike, once you pump the tyres up, fix the brakes up.
Yeah, yeah.
Kid goes, whoa, this is something different. Yeah. You know?
Or, this is fun.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I call it work. The magic. Yeah, when does magic happen in modern society? We get to experience it every once in a while. And you get, when you ride a bike, the magic, right?
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to grab. But when you give a kid a bike, the magic happens. And when you teach a kid how to balance for the first time, that's magic. That is, they look in their, they open their eyes up. What the hell is happening here? So I'm overcome with balance.
Do you know what I mean? If there's a queen of bike moments, it's a child's face in that first 50 metres when they suddenly can ride and the whole face changes.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does.
Oh, really? Well, we get the one where you get to, because I'm with them when they're doing it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel the shoulders loosen. And then the look when they look back at their parents.
Yeah.
At school, and they look back and they go, and their parents, and then you get the look on their parents' face. Whoa, what just happened? You know, so we get to experience that. It's magic, but we're like I think it's been in the pilot phase for a while now. We're kind of proving the model. We've got to a certain point. We go, okay, we've done 8,000. How do we do 100,000? How do we get to the next step?
Yeah.
And now I was talking to Whitehouse. Yeah, we're out looking for partners. Yeah, is it the state government? We've talked to them and said they're not really interested.
No.
Is it property developers? Is there a benefactor out there? Is it a bunch of people that got too much in their super or, you know, are going to die with too much money? You know, where can we get it so we can get it scale up to 100,000? So under the current model through council contributions and donations from people, we ask for donations if you want to at the schools, we'll get about a third or half the way there, but it'll take another half.
Yep.
To get out to the, because once you scale up, there's big, you need staff.
Yep.
You need the office space. Like we're operating out of my backyard and a few other people's backyards.
Yep. Yeah.
So we know we've got a model, but how do we get to that next step and reach 100,000 kids of the 250,000? And there's 100,000 just within Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah.
100,000 kids that don't have a bike.
And that is always a big challenge. Like you see a lot of these initiatives pop up.
Yeah.
Very few of them are as well developed and lasts as long as yours, but the longevity and sustainability, that is the big issue. Like, how do you ramp this up so that it's something that can be sustainable and exist effectively?
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking about this. We've got all the data. Like, I've talked to someone who did some modelling for us. He says, you've got the data that you can make a $10 million investment decision on. You know, he said, because he works for banks. So you've gathered enough data. You can prove it, and people could say, are we sure we're going to get that result? Yes, we've got that.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, over 700 survey responses, follow-up surveys. So we know it and we can start modelling school by school.
Yeah.
We've got enough detailed data now to know what will happen if you do a community centre here or something here in this postcode. We can start doing that.
Yeah.
So that, okay. But now you need the money.
Yeah.
So if there's people out there who know, look us up, drcrankies.com.au. Come and help us make magic, I suppose. Is the big pitch. Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned Vic Health before. They're not disposed to actually looking at preventative health measures.
They were.
They've just been defunded.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a bit hard. So they were into this, right? Vic Health were a leading health advocacy in the world, really, cancer, smoking, they're big into this. Like, you save the money and you can spend it on something else later on.
Yeah.
But now the shift is setting up at the bottom of the cliff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't put the fence up the top of the cliff.
Or tell people where the edge of the cliff is, or teach them how to know where the edge of the cliff is.
Or put a helmet on them.
Yeah,
in case they fall over.
That's right. So, So, yes, we've pitched it. It's gone as high as it can go.
Yeah.
They've got the stats. It's not money in the budget for this at the moment.
No.
So, and again, if you're not bringing in money, I can see if you've got a budget under stress, you want to bring in money. You don't want to be talking about spending money.
Yeah.
So you have to have a level of security to say, hey, we're going to invest now to save a lot of money later on. Yeah, in health costs.
That great thing about getting kids to ride is the ripple effect. Like, you get a kid who suddenly wants to ride school, one of the parents is going to have to start doing that with them. And that's, I always used to see at schools, that's the moment someone who hasn't ridden since they're a teenager gets back on the bike.
Yes.
When their kids start saying, well, I want to ride to school like all the other kids.
Yeah.
And suddenly a mum or dad who hasn't ridden for decades gets back because they can ride on the footpath for a bit and get their confidence back.
We've had that happen a few times. Like, one kid gets the bike, all right, and then the next kid says, oh,
I'm in.
You know, Melissa's got one. I want one. And then suddenly you've got a parent whose two kids have got bikes and want to go riding every weekend. They need a bike. And we've actually at Preston North, I think it was Preston Northeast, Preston South, we were up there. The daughter got a bike. We taught her how to ride. The mum was, oh, that's amazing. That's never happened. And then we come back 2 weeks later. So the school bike chicks, we come morning and afternoon, and then we come back 2 weeks later to mop up. Some people don't make it that first time.
So two weeks
later we came back, or maybe it was a week later, and she came back and she bought this lady's bike. The chain was not moving. Like, it was rusted. Like, it was a weapon. And she, can you get this going? Yeah. It's a bit of oil and a bit of, you can get it. And then she rode her off because she wants to go riding every afternoon, and I'm sick of having to run after her.
Yeah.
So we got her bike work, and then suddenly we thought, oh, hang on.
You've got a whole family.
That's right, and you're off and running. And we've had that happen multiple times. Sometimes the whole family gets bike, five bikes into a family, and then they're off and running. So,
yeah.
And we've measured it. We know it happens, right?
Yeah. So it's that investment, really huge return, but we need someone to cough up the investment.
So there's the financial side and the logical side, which makes a lot of sense. And then there's magic.
Magic is what we're after. Magic.
And you're the bike whisperer.
Oh yeah, Dr. Cranky, the wizard of bikes.
you two are starting to sound like the front end of the international bicycling conspiracy taking over the world. Yeah. I mean, the Jesuits told you to get a kid before they're seven, and you've got them for life.
Yeah, yeah.
So same sort of thing.
Go out and spread the word.
I'm introducing you to a lifelong addiction.
That's right.
That depends on how you deal with it.
Addiction that's good for you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Cranky, where can we find you if somebody needs to make a donation of bicycles? Or
bicycles, money, contribution, come and say hello to me. DrCranky's.com.au.
There we go.
Go find it. There's a donation page there. There's a donate your bike. There's a thing on school bikes. School bike checks.
I'm going to suggest there's not a shortage of used children's bicycles sitting in sheds.
It's like the end of the Stone Age didn't happen because they didn't have enough stones, right?
No.
Yeah, so there's enough bikes out there. We never run out of bikes.
Yeah.
But sometimes we ask people to send us a photo, to make sure it's okay because we don't want, curbside rubbish. But, and we'll come, if we can, we'll come pick them up and they'll be ridden.
Yeah,
they'll be ridden. And we also work with all the other bicycle recyclers in Melbourne. So if we get one that we can't use, we'll just give it to Back to Bikes or Serious Bike Shed or Bicycles Humanity.
There's a nice group in between Bikes Humanity, Second Chance Cycles, Series that keeps recycling.
15, they're all on that. I created the website, bicyclerecyclers.org.au.
Yep.
If you want to find it, it's there.
Yep.
And we've got a chat group. We talk to each other. Hey, I've got too many of these. Can I get one of these? I need kids' bikes, they need mountain bikes, they need road bikes.
So
it gets used,
Like I said, an international conspiracy.
That's right. working
underneath the known,
the bike economy.
Yes. The resources are there, that's what we're saying.
You just need to collect them.
Yeah.
Cool. That's...
Thank you very much for coming, Bart. That's always...
This is Jim. This has been magic.
There we go. You've gone home, you've got a couple more bicycle moments now, and all things good. Plus, 3CR, it's a birthplace of a lot of great ideas.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe I haven't been in here. It's fantastic. Like, the atmosphere in here is just amazing. Yeah, it's right from the parking our bikes out front and there then going to the reception. Fantastic.
See, just like those two car drivers chatting to each other.
That's what will happen, yeah.
Hey, listen, before we leave you, which I have to leave you quick, Charlie Cunningham died a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just going to leave you with a quote from his wife and long-term partner, Shackleton Flynn. Everybody that rides a lot knows it's hard to maintain a bad mood on a bike.
Oh, I heard that one. That was fantastic.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.